This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravoo. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We first might have to talk about some Badgers basketball. The Wisconsin men's basketball team winning their Sweet 16 game last night against the Baylor Bears, advancing to the Elite Eight. And as you've probably seen on social media, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers paying the team a visit. Well, of course, last night the game was played in Anaheim, California, suburb of Los Angeles, and that's where Aaron Rodgers lives in the offseason. Now, I don't know exactly Aaron Rodgers' address, but I know he's lived somewhere in that neck of the woods. So I think Aaron Rodgers probably saw, hey, the in-state basketball team is playing. I like watching basketball, and I'm going to go to the game. Apparently, I saw on Twitter, I think Tom Oates of the Wisconsin State Journal said he sat with Andy North and his wife for the evening. Andy North, of course, the two-time U.S. Open champion golfer, big supporter of the Badgers basketball team. They're always showing shots of him on television because he's always in the crowd. But Andy North actually announces Badgers basketball games as like, I think he's like their backup announcer. You know, like if one of the guys is busy with football or something like that, he fills in. Kind of a cool connection there. Aaron Rodgers taking the game. After the game, he goes into the Badgers locker room. Badgers, you know, crushed Baylor. That wasn't even a game last night, which, you know, as a Badger fan and alum of the university, I'm very happy about that. They just controlled the game from start to finish. Baylor couldn't shoot the ball worth a lick, and the Badgers basically found holes in Baylor's zone defense, and you know, it was just, they took control of the game from the very beginning, kind of held a 15-20 point lead for a majority of the game, and they go on to the Elite Eight. They're one win away from the Final Four, so congratulations to the Badgers, and getting back here to the Aaron Rodgers connection. He goes to the locker room after the game, kind of gets in their post-game huddle, and they all celebrate and whatever. And I know he took time for photo ops with head coach Bo Ryan. That picture is, you know, going viral around the internet, at least, you know, amongst Wisconsin sports fans and several of the players I've seen as well. So very cool. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, just getting a little FaceTime, I guess, with the Badger basketball team. But congratulations to the Badgers. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is up to now during the offseason. It's March. I don't think he has a whole lot to do in the evening. So he decided to take in some basketball. Whether he'll be at the Badger basketball game on Saturday, the Elite Eight game, Badgers will be taking on Arizona for the right to go to the Final Four. Well, we'll find out, I guess. But, you know, I wanted to spend the majority of today's episode talking more about football. And kind of the one thing we've learned in the past 48 hours since the last episode of Railbird Central was that a free agent paid a visit to the Green Bay Packers. So, yeah, once again, the Packers, you know, at least kicking the tires on some free agent players here. Nothing imminent, but as the reports state, this was first reported on Wednesday evening, I believe, that the Packers head in for a visit. Mike McGlynn, an offensive lineman most recently with the Indianapolis Colts. And Mike McGlynn is an interior offensive lineman who has experience at both center and guard. And you have to imagine That's what the Packers must like about him. You know, that versatility, the kind of guy who they probably are not maybe banking on to being a starter, although I'm sure if he comes in, they'll open up the competition. As we know, the at center is currently wide open, but if not, he can still be a backup guard as well. Now, the downside to this whole thing is that Mike McGlynn has not exactly been a stud with the Colts or anywhere he's been over the course of his career. He's, what, entering, I believe this will be his 7th year in the NFL. He spent some time with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Cincinnati Bengals before that, so he's, you know, kind of a journeyman. And you know, but he has the past 2 seasons, though. We give him credit for being consistent and becoming a starter. You know, early in his career, he didn't play much, and he had to work to get to this point. He started all 16 games for the Colts during the 2012 season, and 14 out of the 15 games he played in 2013. So he's become a starter, and like I said, you know, has experience at both guard and tackle, has started at both, things like that. I've heard people say he's a better center than he is a guard. I couldn't really tell you one way or the other. I have not, you know, ever focused on Mike McGlynn. I have yet to watch any film on him. Other than, you know, just what I've seen from watching Colts games in general and watching the team as a whole and not specifically focusing on him. But, I mean, I can go and look and tell you that he started 48 games over the course of his career. So he's a guy who's been there, done that, as far as being, you know, nothing's going to surprise him, be new to him. He might have to learn a new offense, but he's not going to be overcome by the situation of, you know, appearing in a game or anything like that. He's 6'4 and 325 pounds, so he's a pretty big guy, especially if we're talking center here. You know, the Packers centers over the past few years, these are guys who are, like, tipping the scales at right around 300 pounds. You know, Scott Wells, Jeff Saturday, Evan Dietrich Smith, those guys were not all that heavy. So Mike McGlynn being 325, he's definitely more of a road grader type than what they've seen. You know, just a bigger guy, heavier guy. And you know, I think what you're seeing with the Packers is they're starting to go to that a little bit more here as the ground game has become more effective. They want to get a little more push for Eddie Lacy and make sure he's got his running lanes open, and maybe he can provide that. Now, how would Mike McGlynn fit with the Packers? Now, obviously, we know Evan Dietrich Smith is left via free agency, signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, and we learned this past week, head coach Mike McCarthy is you know, basically keeping the competition open to anyone on the offensive line that could be the center. I mean, he specifically named, you know, of course, J.C. Treader, Don Barclay, T.J. Lang, Josh Sitton, but, you know, kept the door open to any free agents the Packers might sign, like McGlynn or a rookie this year. You have to think that the Packers at some point will draft an offensive lineman or two. They have 9 picks. I mean, a year doesn't go by where the Packers don't, you know, draft some sort of offensive lineman. Now, is it a guard or an interior lineman? We don't know. But we do know, though, that, you know, the Packers have a penchant for drafting these college tackles and converting them into interior offensive linemen. But who knows? Maybe with such uncertainty, maybe this is the year they actually go out and get a true center. A guy who's, you know, has a lot of experience doing that. I wouldn't certainly ever rule that out. But Mike McGlynn, you know, I think if the Packers would sign him, you know, he would certainly be allowed to compete for the job. And, you know, I would think he would stand a good chance of perhaps winning it. I'm not sure I'd make him the favorite. I think they'd be inclined to go with the young guy like J.C. Treader or Don Barclay, who's been there in the Packers system. But, I mean, I'm sure they just, you know, again, we talked about this, you know, the episode on Wednesday. You know, may the best man win. They'll just let him fight it out, duke it out during the off season in minicamp, training camp, things like that, OTAs, and just see who the best guy is. So, I mean, it's wide open right now. And you know, Mike McGlynn could make it. Now, I will say this as well. It probably wasn't a good sign. I know the report from Bob McGinn in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was that the Packers had McGlynn in for a visit on Wednesday. And it is now Friday. 2 days have elapsed. And I've seen reports that he actually went from Green Bay to a visit with the Tennessee Titans afterward. If he was there yesterday, he's there today. I'm not exactly sure. But, you know, whenever a player leaves a town he visits, it's not necessarily a good thing. You know, if a team is really, really interested, they don't let him leave town without a contract. And the Packers let Mike McGlynn leave. Now, I'm sure Mike McGlynn is trying to get the best deal possible, so maybe the Packers might be interested, but maybe not at his asking price. And again, I'm speculating. I don't know without hearing from McGlynn, without hearing from anybody else. We certainly, you know, couldn't really tell what's happening here. But who knows? It's maybe he signs with the Tennessee Titans. I think before he came to the Packers, he was visiting the Washington Redskins. Again, these reports from Bob McGinn I read at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or their website, jsonline.com. So, it's not looking good. But, you know, at this time of year, here we are, the end of March, I don't think there's a whole lot more to talk about rather than this was the biggest piece of news, I think, that the Packers could be actually making a free agent addition to their team in the past 48 hours. So, might as well talk about the possibility, at least, of it happening. They had enough interest to actually bring him into Green Bay for a visit the team facilities. I'm sure they had him in for a physical, stuff like that, perhaps put him through a workout. So it's not as if, you know, we're talking about nothing here. If they're going through, enough, they're showing enough interest to actually bring him in. So it's not as if this is just a phone call to his agent to see, you know, what the asking price may be. It's gone beyond that, you know, to actually visit the facilities and meet with them and those kind of things. So I guess we're just in a holding pattern for the time being to see whether Mike McGlynn signs with the Packers or elsewhere, but would provide some veteran experience to the Packers offensive line and the team in general. We've seen for the first time the Packers get rather heavily involved in free agency, at least compared to what they've been in previous years, with them signing Julius Peppers and LaTroy Guyon in free agency previously. Those guys, of course, being street free agents cut by their previous teams. But, a departure from what the Packers have done in the past. You know, not often signing players from other teams. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. There was that one report from Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network, and Ian Rapoport, of course, as we've talked about on the show, has taken some heat for, you know, saying the Packers defensive line wants to get smaller, etc. And kind of, in a way, they have, but not entirely, that they want to get smaller. I mean, they just simply, you know, letting Ryan Pickett, Johnny Jolly test free agency, leaving the door for them open to return. But, you know, of course, re-signing B.J. Raji, though, to play the nose tackle for at least one more year. But Ian Rappaport also saying the Packers could sign up to 5 free agents or something like that. And, you know, a lot of people scoffed at that. But it's looking like perhaps that is on its way to becoming reality. The Packers have already signed 2 free agents and interested in the third here at least. You know, they've kicked the tires on many more, as we found out over the course of free agency, although, not all of them really got to a serious discussion or standpoint. But anyway, it's... I see Bryce Hansen on the live blog says Ian Rappaport just makes crap up. Well, I tell you, this whole thing about signing free agents is becoming true, at least compared to previous Packers teams and what they've done in the offseason. So, we'll see. We'll see. And again, you got to take things with a grain of salt in that, the Packers signed free agents. Just remember that they've gone out and signed free agents in the past that, you know, have played very minor roles on the team. Like, you know, last year they signed Seneca Wallace. He was a free agent. Well, Seneca Wallace, he got his moment in the sun when Aaron Rodgers went down for 2 games. But other than that, you know, he's a footnote in Packers history now. Packers signed Cedric Benson a few weeks, two years ago, and he gets injured and is pretty much a footnote as well. And those are guys that were signed practically during training camp because there wasn't a whole lot of interest out there in them in the rest of the league. So, if the Packers are signing free agents for the NFL minimum, that's one thing. It's not like every signing is going to be a Julius Peppers big name signing here. But anyway, what else do we have going in the world of the Green Bay Packers? I wouldn't mind drawing your attention, because I do think it's notable, to an article I wrote yesterday at Cheesehead TV. And if you just simply scroll down, you can see it there, the picture of Mike McCarthy. And I thought he said something interesting from the NFL owners meetings that's kind of flown under the radar, and how the Packers are approaching injuries this season and in Green Bay. If you're a Packers fan, you know the deal. And 3 out of the past 4 years, they have suffered an inordinate amount of injuries. They've practically been among the league leaders in injuries in 3 out of the past 4 years, dating back to the Super Bowl season, 2010, 2011, they actually have rather good health, and then 2012 and 2013, again, have among the most starts lost to injury among preferred starters in the NFL, according to statistics kept by Rick Goslin of the Dallas Morning News. And that great, you know, a study he does every year, kind of breaking that down. But anyway, here, I just want to share one quote from Mike McCarthy that I thought was rather interesting, kind of regarding injuries with the Green Bay Packers. And here's what Mike McCarthy had to say on Wednesday. Quote, "We have to be real aware of what we've been through the last couple years. I'm not saying we're going to get hurt again this year. We just have to be ready to play with a bunch of guys at 500, 600, 700 plays, as opposed to thinking we're going to have a handful play 1,000. That's what it's coming down to." End quote. So that's Mike McCarthy preparing guys to play 500, 600, 700 plays. And instead of 1,000, if you go on to read the article, I tell you, that the only players on the defensive side of the football last year to play more than 1,000 plays were 2 guys, A.J. Hawk and Tremont Williams, the only 2 who played more than 1,000 plays last season. Think about that. I think B.J. Raji led the defensive line with something like 615 or something like that. So no defensive lineman playing more than 615 snaps. Everybody else less than that, defensive lineman. On the offensive side of the football, the only non-offensive lineman to play more than 1,000 snaps last year, wide receiver Jordy Nelson. Yeah, there were several offensive linemen, but as you know, if you're an offensive lineman, you're healthy. That's not a position you rotate in the NFL. Kind of interesting, right? I mean, that seems to be a thing. There's almost rotation at a lot of other positions in the NFL, but offensive linemen, they don't hardly ever rotate them at all. If you're healthy and you're the starter, you're in there every single snap. And, you know, David Bakhtiari, Justin, TJ Lang, I think those guys all played over 1,000 snaps this past year. But, yeah, I mean, what the Packers are doing is I think Mike McCarthy is acknowledging that you can't prevent every injury. I'm sure he very, very much wants the Packers to stay more healthy than they have in the past. And he acknowledges they're working on it. They're researching it. They're looking into it. They're trying to do as much as possible to prevent injuries. But, you know, it's football. You know, there isn't a team in the NFL that's going to prevent all the injuries. You know, some are going to happen no matter what. And you just don't know when they're going to happen, who they're going to happen to. So what you got to do, especially at this time of year, when you got nothing better to do, you know, when it's March and April, May and June, July and August, that time frame, this 6-month time frame, these 6 months, what else do you have to do but to prepare the 90 players on your roster for a potential role? That's what Mike McCarthy's focused on. You know, seriously, I mean, why not take advantage of these 6 months? It's your job. You know, if it's your goal in professional football to win a Super Bowl and to be the best, why not take advantage of these 6 months to prepare guys who you might think may not play a role? You know, a guy like, let's say, Sam Barrington. You know, I don't think if anybody's healthy, you know, if everybody's healthy at inside linebacker, you probably don't expect a guy like Sam Barrington to play much of a role. But you never know when injuries are going to happen. You know, all of a sudden, there's an injury, possibly two. All of a sudden, a guy like Sam Barrington could be thrust into the starting lineup. You never know. I mean, so you spend these 6 months preparing him for that potential possibility. You know, you get him as much experience as possible. And I'm not just, you know, that Sam Barrington's just a sample here. I could be talking about Jamari Lattimore. I could be talking about J.C. Treader. I could be talking about, you know, Miles White. At wide receiver, it doesn't matter who we're talking about. Devon House, a guy who's been a backup, but a lot of people feel maybe has the ability to be a starter. I mean, the Packers are going to spend these months getting these guys ready, knowing the systems, knowing the offense, knowing the defense. Doesn't matter if we're talking offense or defense here. Injuries can strike either side of the football. And, you know, just getting them ready to play potentially, you know, a big role should injuries happen. And they're going to. You just don't know when or to who they're going to happen to or how long they're going to last. They're going to keep a player out a week or they're going to keep them out a whole season. So much uncertainty that you don't really know. And I, you know, it's kind of interesting to, you know, kind of laid out the lengths the Packers have gone to prevent injuries. And as part of this renovation at Lambeau Field, they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars on the things the fans don't see. You know, you go into Lambeau Field and you see the new south end zone expansion in which they added 7,000 new seats. You see the brand new huge scoreboards. You can hear the new audio system installed. Well, the things you can't see is that the Packers, you know, their facilities underneath, there's a whole new weight room, there's a whole new cafeteria, then there's the CRIC, which stands for the Conditioning Rehab and Instruction Center. It's a field turf area that's the width of a regular football field, and it's 30 yards long. So, I mean, it's small in that, you know, you're not going to practice in there, really. Maybe you could have maybe during the off season they have small group instruction in there. But, you know, the whole team, they're not going to do 11 and 11s on there, although you could do, you know, walkthroughs, things like that. But they use it as a rehab area. They use it for strength and conditioning. They use it for walkthroughs. They've spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this thing. Tens of millions of dollars. And, you know, it hasn't prevented injuries yet. They're still happening. Packers are trying their darndest, throwing tens of millions of dollars into stopping injuries, but it's not working. So, anyway. So I think the Packers, what you're seeing here from Mike McCarthy is being resigned to understanding that injuries are going to happen. Obviously, yes, I realize they want to prevent especially the fatigue injuries, and that's the most frustrating one. All the hamstring injuries that have come up, you know, this past year. Morgan Burnett, John Kuhn, Clay Matthews, who has all had hamstring injuries? I'm missing some, but of course, you know, those are some of the big names. Casey Hayward misses practically the whole season with a hamstring injury. Brad Jones missed time with a hamstring injury. The Packers got to work on curbing that. You don't want to see that. But they're not going to prevent any injury. So what they're doing is they're, you know, preparing players to play large roles, guys you wouldn't maybe expect to play large roles if everybody's healthy. That's just the way the NFL works. That's the world they're living in. So the Packers are getting used to it. And I think that's why, too, again, we touched on this the last episode, why the Packers aren't committing to a starting center right now. Why they're not committing 100% to Micah Hyde being a safety. They're preparing him at different positions, you know. They're preparing Micah Hyde to play cornerback on the perimeter in the slot, possibly at safety. You know, they're spending this time, you know, March through August, preparing him everywhere. You know, getting him experience. You know, probably once training camp rolls around, though, that time, you know, then they'll probably more focus on where he's more likely to play. But, I mean, what the heck? It's March right now. Sure, let him practice all over the place in March. You know, let's limit it. Let's focus it when training camp and the season comes around. But, hey, right now, why not? You know, get him practicing everywhere. See where he fits best. All of a sudden, if you're practicing with him at safety and you see Micah Hyde is playing pretty darn well at safety, well then, you know, when training camp comes around, go ahead and make the full-time transition. But if, you know, he's struggling at safety a little bit, or it just looks like he's a better fit at cornerback, well, maybe it's nice that he could be an emergency safety, but I mean, that's what this time period's for. That's what March and April and May are for, mini camps, OTAs. Get these guys practicing everywhere. That's what it's for. And with that thought, I'll wrap up this week of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here this morning. On Railbird Central. We have our show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, live edition at cheeseheadtv.com. Check it out on your Roku players via the live stream platform. Cheesehead TV. We have that availability as well. And of course, we podcast the show. You can check it out on iTunes or whatever you use to download your podcast. But thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. We'll see you on Monday. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvu. I leave you today with a song called All Inside by Kyle Hollingsworth on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack Go.